This Shabbos is once again not an official parsha, Shmini Atzeres, Simchas Torah, but we will be finishing the Sefer Torah with Parshas Vezosa Bracha. And I'd like to share with you an idea. Zosa Bracha begins with the brachas that Moshe Rabbeinu is blessing the various tribes. As an aside, we find something interesting that of most of the tribes, Moshe Rabbeinu is blessing to them is very, very short. For example, we look at Reuven, Yechi Reuven Vayamos, Vihi Mesav Mispar. That's this whole bracha. Yehuda, Zos Yehuda Vayomar, Shma Hashem Kol Yehuda, Velamot Yivyenu, Yadav Rablo, Bezer Mitzar Abtiyeh. Very, very short, to the point. However, Levi and Yosef, the Torah goes in much greater detail. Moshe Rabbeinu's blessing is much longer when it comes to both Levi and Yosef. So Rav Chaim Kanievsky Shlita explains why, what's the significance, why Dafka is the bracha of Levi and Yosef longer. So he says that by to explain the bracha of Levi, says that Kadosh Baruch Hu gave a blessing ready to Avraham Avinu, and he said, "Vavaracha mevarachecha," that whoever you give a blessing to, vavaracha mevarachecha, whoever you give a blessing to, you'll get a bracha. Mimela, since the tribe of Levi, specifically the Kohanim, they're involved with giving brachas, so Mimela, they receive a bracha. And therefore, their bracha is longer. They deserve a bracha, since they're the ones giving bracha, so they deserve to receive a bracha. On the other hand, also, Yosef is long, because we say, Friday night, we're blessing the children, Yisimcha Elohim Kefraim Imcha Menashe. As the Torah says, Becha Yivarech Yisrael Lemor Yisimcha Elohim, etc. That the blessing is given to Klal Yisrael, is the blessing that came through Yosef's children. Becha Yivarech Yisrael. Mamele, the more blessing they have, the more they have, when we give our, other people give blessings to their children, they have who to receive the blessing from. But I'd like to zero in fact, the blessing of Levi over here. It says, Levi Amar Tumecha V'recha L'Ish Chasidecha. The Urim and Turmim belong to this, to Ish Chasidecha. And the Torah continues, Asher Nisiso B'masa Tirivehu Almei Miriva. And then Moshe Rabbeinu goes on and says, Ha'omer Levi V'liv Mo Lo Reciv Ves Echa V'lo Hikir Ves Bana V'lo Yada Ki Shamurim Rasecha V'rischa Yinsoru. So Rashi points out over here that the Shevet Levi, they had said, Ha'omer Levi V'liv Mo Lo Reciv. My father, my mother, I didn't see them. What is it referring to? It says it's referring to the Chet HaEgel. The Chet HaEgel, after Klal Yisrael sinned, then Moshe Rabbeinu got up, the famous words, and said, Mi Lashem Elai. Who is, whoever is for Hashem, come to me. And who came to Moshe Rabbeinu? Shevet Levi. It's a famous story with Rav Shimon Schwab, Zatzal, that he was a Talmid of the Chafetz Chaim. He once came to the Chafetz Chaim. Chafetz Chaim said to him, do you know that I'm a Kohen? So Rav Schwab said, of course. So he says, and you? Are you a Kohen? So he says, no, I'm a Yisrael. So he said, do you realize, says, when Mezrat Hashem, the Beis HaMikdash, will be built, my children, we're going to be serving the Beis HaMikdash. And you realize what a tremendous feeling that's going to be to serve in the Beis HaMikdash. But you and your children are not going to be able to serve in the Beis HaMikdash. Do you realize that? So Rav Schwab says, we're not Kohanim. I realize that. Like, I couldn't understand what the Chafetz Chaim was trying to say. So he said to him, you know why? You know why we're going to serve in the Beis HaMikdash and you're not? Because when Moshe Rabbeinu said those words, Mi Lashem Elai, who came to him? Shevet Levi. And because of that step, towards Moshe Rabbeinu, when they heard those words, yes, we are for Hashem, that made the difference that for generations, it's dafka the Kohanim are going to serve in the Beis HaMikdash and not anybody else. So, after they came to Moshe Rabbeinu, it says, V'nesu alai kol b'nei Levi, they came, Levi came to Moshe Rabbeinu, V'tzivi sim larog es avi imo, and he commanded them to kill the people that served the Ego. The Levim had to kill them. Some of the people that had to kill were their own relatives. For example, Avi Imo, there could be this own Levi's mother's father. Okay? V'hum Yisrael, because he's a Israeli. Okay? His father, of course, if he's a Levi, so his father's a Levi. But his mother's father doesn't have to be a Levi, it could be Israel. And he was commanded to kill his mother's father. Oh, Esachiv Mimo, could be his half-brother, his brother from his mother. Not from his father, because if it's brother from the father, he'd also be a Levi. But his mother's brother from his mother, maybe he had commanded to kill him. Or Ben Bito, or his grandson from his daughter. His daughter married an Israeli, and now the child is an Israeli. He could maybe command to kill his own grandson. And that's what they did. We see an unbelievable level of Mesiras Nefesh. Can you imagine being told, it's like the Kedus Yitzchak all over again. Here being told, kill your mother's father, kill your grandson. Kill your own grandson. Why? Is he Israeli? You have to kill him. And Mechenasu, and they did so. Unbelievable level of Mesiras Nefesh we see by the Levim. So I'd like to speak a little bit about this whole union of Mesiras Nefesh, how it applies to us. You know, Baruch Hashem, you know, we're not commanded to, you know, kill our relatives, but the Kodesh Baruch Hu likes to see Mesiras Nefesh on our part. How much are we give ourselves towards Him? So, to bring things up a little bit closer to our times, at least, there's a couple of interesting stories I saw. One, and it refers to a Rav, his name was Mordechai Shulman. He was the Rosh Hashiva of Slobodka in Europe. And this was before the Second World War. And he came to America at the time to make some money for the yeshiva. She was in dire straits. So he came to America to raise some money for the yeshiva. So while he was there, the war broke out. And as a result, he was separated from his wife and his children. This continued for the duration of the whole war. He was in America and is not knowing what was going on with his family. So what happened? At the end of the war, he got word that his wife and his kids, they all survived, miraculously. Very few people could claim that. They were able to say that their whole family stayed in Europe, survived the war. But he got word. So if it was you and I, what would we do? We heard, oh, my wife and kids are alive. What do? You jump on the next plane, you go in to see them. What did Rav Shulman do? No, he said, I owe Kodesh Baruch Hu tremendous hakara satov. Look what he did for me. So I want to be moser nefesh for him. I want to do an act which shows my devotion to him, how I owe him. So what did Rav Shulman do? He decided he's going to not run to see his family as much as he wanted to. He says, I'm going to take some time and I'm going to work on bringing back the yeshiva in Slobodka. I'm going to make more money over here in America without going to see my family right now. As much as I have this burning desire to do so, I'm going to quench this desire in order to be Moser Nefesh. And that's my gift to Kodesh Baruch Hu, to thank him for keeping my family alive. And this was in Chodesh Cheshvan, and he remained there until Elul, which is 10 months. 10 months he held himself back from seeing his wife and kids who survived the war in order to be Moser Nefesh and give a gift, as we said, to Kodesh Baruch Hu. The similar type of story with the Rav Dessler, where most of us are familiar with Rav Dessler, that during the war he was in was in England. He at the time he built up Gateshead, and very similar story. He didn't know what he was doing with his wife and kids as well, and he. the duration of the war, he was in Geitze, which in itself was an amazing thing, because we know that he built up the Torah over there in that city. And during the time when most people would be so upset, you know, dealing with what's with my family, he had the presence of mind to continue building Torah during all of this. But the story goes also that after the war was over, he didn't know what was with his wife and kids. He didn't get any word. He thought the worst, but he didn't know. He looked, tried to find out, no word from his family. So he continued, he was in England. One day, he had a chavrusa with a bacher, and they were learning. And all of a sudden, there's a knock on the door, and the mailman comes, and he hands him a letter, and disappears. So Rav Dessler takes the letter, looks at it, and turns it over, and see who is the sender. And he sees it was from his wife. So again, can you imagine? He hadn't heard anything from them. Didn't know if they're alive, if they're dead, what's going on. And he got this first letter from them. And what would we do? What would we do? Rip open the letter, you know, and anxiously read what's going on. Hey, you know, what did he do? He took the letter and he's put it under his gemara. He says, later. Why? Because he wanted to teach this bacher that there's nothing more important than Torah. So as much as he was dying to open up this letter, no, I want to teach Mr. Talmud over here. If he sees I'm so in the mind, he'll think that that's more important than Torah. Right now we're learning Torah. So he was able to quench his desire to open the letter and did not do so. So he continued his chavrusa, and as they were going on, it was very hard for him. It was very hard. He was dying to open that letter. But he wanted again, he most than ever, I'm not going to open the letter. So what did he do? He took it and he put it up in a high place. Because he knows if it's right here under his gemara, the temptation is too strong. So he forced himself and put it away in a high spot, so he won't be able to, won't have that temptation to look at it. And only after he finishes chavrusa did he go to check out the letter. So this is a couple of examples of Mesiras Nefesh a little bit closer to our time. This Yontif, I read it in the Mishpacha magazine, wonderful story I'd like to share with you, which also shows Mesiras Nefesh on behalf of the Mesiras Nefesh of a father towards a son, and the father the opposite, giving his life for his son. The story goes as follows. There was a gentleman, his name is Chaim Mordechai Levine. And he lived in America, New York. And one day, he gets, he was not feeling well. This is bothering him, this, whatever. Eventually, he went to the doctor, told him about his ailments. And the doctor suggested they run some tests. To make a long story short, the doctor calls him and his wife in. They were, he was in his mid-50s, and they had one boy, child, who was ready, like in his 20s. He was just married for like half a year. And the doctor sits them down and says, listen, I have not such very good news for you. He says, what's wrong? He says, well, we've looked at the tests, and unfortunately, you are stricken with the machala. And there are people that, you know, they have to go through treatments and they can get out of it. But what you have is, it's already all over your body. And cases like yours, after similar cases that you have, our experience is the person does not live more than between four and 8 weeks. And that's where you are holding right now. So of course they started burst out crying and this. But the mother, the wife, Rav Chaim Baruch's wife, said a strange comment. She said, oh Rebbe, how right you were. Okay. So they left the office, of course, all upset. And the doctor was exact, right on the mark. It was 4 weeks later that Chaim Baruch left the world. So, what happened? The Levi, of course, and the son the newlywed son was sitting Shiva, of course, with his mother. So the Shiva went on. The last day of the Shiva, in walks a man to Menachem Avil. He doesn't look familiar to anybody, and he walks up to the son, his name was Shmuel, the son. Walks up to Shmuel, and Shmuel says, "Do I know you from somewhere?" So he says, "No, but I'd like to tell you, I just came from Eretz Yisrael to here, to New York, to Menachem you, Menachem Avil." So he was shocked. "You came all the way from Eretz Yisrael just to Menachem Avil?" He says, "I don't even know you." So he says, "You don't know me, but your father knew me. I know you. I know your father quite well. We knew your father quite well for a while, and therefore I came to Menachem you because I have to tell you a very important thing about your father. Probably something you don't know about, never heard about." So everybody in the room all of a sudden was quiet and wanted to hear what this man had to say. It's a man also in his 50s. So Shmuel, the son, said, "Please sit down, tell me that you have a story." He says, yes, I have a very important story to tell you about your father." So he said, "Your father was also at the time living in Eretz Yisrael. We were both living in Bnei Brak. And we grew up together in school. We went to cheder together, yeshiva, etc. And not only that, we also were married around the same time. And your father learned a year or two in kol, whatever. He's doing very well. But unfortunately, he was not able to have any children. No children, no sign of any children. Married 2 years. And they were, given as your mother, were getting a little bit worried. Another year went by, 3 years, 4 years, and still no sign of any children. So they started getting very nervous, went to doctors, and they started going through various procedures, etc. And nothing was working, another year, and no child. Until they were married 9 years. 9 years, and still no children. They didn't know what they were going to do. And interestingly enough, though, I myself, he said, got married around the same time as when your father got married, and I had the same problem, right? We were also married there around 9 years. We also had no children. Same thing. So misery loves company, but we both were rather not be miserable. We got word one day that a tzaddik's coming to town. Not Bnei Brak, but Yerushalayim, the Rivnitzer Rebbe. And he was known to poel yeshuos, to help people in many ways, but specifically he was known to help those that have problem having children. So, of course, your father and I said, "Look, we're going at all costs." We made our way to Yerushalayim, and it was a big, long wait to get into the Rebbe. It was like in the middle of the night. And we decided, both of us, since we have the same problem, that we might as well go in together. So we both went into the Rebbe together, and Rebbe said, "What can I do for you?" And we told him, we both married 9 years, no children, we need a bracha. So Rebbe closes his eyes, starts thinking, and then he says, "You know, it's a very difficult situation, very difficult." So we looked at him, "Difficult? Okay, yeah, that's why we're here for." He says, "No, it's not simple. It's a very difficult situation." So, okay, so what should we do? Now what? So Rebbe said, "Well, I really have to think about this. Come back tomorrow." What was that? So we left his room, and of course we were shaking. We couldn't wait till tomorrow already. You know, what's going on? Finally, we came back the next day. Same thing, long wait. Came in the middle of the night, sat down, and the Rebbe said to us, "You know, I'm very happy that you came back. Because I was thinking about you all day. And very difficult situation. It's very difficult." Repeating the same words that he said the night before. So we said to him, "Okay, difficult in what way? What? Is there any hope for us?" The Rebbe said, "There is hope, but it's not simple. You see," he says, "normally a couple comes, and they have a certain kitrug in Shemayim, something that's preventing them from having children. what do? I somehow am able to remove this kitrig, and then, Baruch Hashem, they have a child. But with both of you, it's not so simple. So once again, we said, Rebbe, so what, is there any hope? He said, yes, there is a hope. However, it's going to require a tremendous level of mesiris nefesh on your part. So he said, okay, well, we're willing to moser nefesh, to give of ourselves. Well, what do we have to give? So Rebbe said, you have to give your life. Give our life? What do you mean? So Rebbe said, it's either you or a child. That's the matzav. That's what I said, it's very difficult. You can't both be alive. It's going to be either you or your child. You want a child, you'll have to leave the world. You don't want a child, you can remain living. It's one or the other. However, he told us, the decision is in your hands. It's up to you. You can decide to live or decide to have a child. However, I was able to soften the din a little bit in Shemayim, at least, that if you decide to give up your life, you don't have to leave the world right away. You'll merit to see your child go to the chuppah to be married. But then after that, you'll have to leave the world. Decision is yours. You can imagine, he said, your father and I were sitting there with our mouths open. What do you say? Can you make a decision like that, to live or not to live? So the Rebbe saw that we were shocked, and he said, listen, you don't have to decide right now. You can go home, discuss it with your wives, and then let me know what you decide. So we both left, and if you can imagine, next couple of nights were sleepless nights, back and forth, yes, no, yes, no, what should we do? Discussed it with our wives. And to make a long story short, the bottom line, your father came to one conclusion, and I and my wife, we came to another conclusion. What was that? Your father said, look, who knows how long the person's going to live anyways, so how can I leave the world without having a child? Okay, so let's say I would have lived to be 70 or so. So I'll die when I'm 50, let's say. Okay, I'm willing to be most inevitable, willing to give up those years in order to leave a child behind this world. That was your father's decision. He went into the Rebbe and told him that. I, on the other hand, he said, came to a different conclusion. I wanted to live. I wanted to live. A child's very nice. But it was not meant to be to have a child. Not have a child. But I wanted to live. And so I didn't go back to the Rebbe. So you can see exactly what the Rebbe said came true, right? Your father, in fact, within a year had you, told the son Shmuel. And what happened, you grew up, he had some very nice years with you until he went to the chuppah, and which was just a few months ago, and now he came down with the machla, and it was this nifter. And that's what the mother had commented, and said, oh Rebbe, how right you were. Because he hit it on the ball. Exactly what the Rebbe said came true. He said, me on the other hand, I didn't go to the Rebbe. I wanted to live. And Baruch Hashem, I'm living. But my wife and I, in the Eretz Yisrael, to this day, no children. And also, what the Rebbe said. So the end of the story goes that the son Shmuel had, very shortly after that, his wife became pregnant, and they had a child, which they named after the father, Chaim Baruch. Here's a man in our time who was Moser Nefesh, gave up his life, literally gave up his life, in order to have a child. So he gave his life to his son. So the question is, where does it leave us? What type of mesiris nefesh are we asked? Are we on the level to give up our lives? Are we on a level to, the stories that we've seen from the Gedolim? So we have to just take our little steps forward, do what we can, our little measures of mesiris nefesh. So I was thinking of one idea hit me, and that was what the Rabbeinu Yonah says in his Yesod HaTshuva. And he says that, talking about how to do tshuva and to regret one's sin, and what can one do in order to make strides in proper tshuva. So he discusses, and what many people do is they fast, fasting in order to atone for their averas. But he says there's a different possibility. He says, V'im adam chalashu, she'enu yachol lizbol inuyim kashim betanios, If he's a person that's weak and he can't fast too easily, yimshoch mitavotav. One thing he can do is go away from his taivas. And not to eat and drink too much, for example. Rabbi Avraham Bar David, one of the great chassidim, Hagader Hagadol Amulah B'Muflar. So one of the greatest things one can do is miniyat ha-machalot, to hold oneself back from food. V'chein Piresh Dvarav, Al Yazov L'Gamri Melechol Basar V'Lishtot Yain. He says, you don't have to say, okay, that's it, I'm not eating. I'm not going to eat meat, I'm not going to drink wine. No, eat meat, drink wine. Ki Dayecha Ma She'asra Torah, because you don't have to asser things that the Torah didn't asser. Torah said, you can eat meat, eat meat. Drink, you can drink. However, if whilst you're eating and you're still hungry, you still like to have another piece, for Hashem, hold yourself back. Says, you know what? I'd love to have that one more piece of meat. That's when you say no. I'm gonna give up myself. Hold back my tithe. I'd love to have that extra piece, but for Hashem, I'm not going to have that extra piece. Don't eat according to your tithes. So such a thing, if you do that, is going to stop you from sinning, because it controls your desires, and it reminds us of our love to Hashem, because we're doing this for Hashem, even more so than fasting once a week. Because this is every day. Every day you can do this. Every time you eat, every time you drink, stop. No, I'm not going to have that extra thing I'd like to have, a little extra drink. Reminds me of the, heard the Chafetz Chaim used to say that they used to have a cup of tea in front of him when he was learning, and he very rarely ever drank that cup of tea. And they said, well, why did he have a cup of tea brought to him if he didn't ever drink it? So they said, this was it. It was a cold day, and he loved to, you know, sip that nice hot cup, and he sees it there, you know, that cup of tea in front of him. But in order to teach himself, control himself, to control his taivas, he wouldn't partake of that tea. Which reminds me of this story of the Chasam Sofer, that he used to also in the morning have a piece of cake and a cup of tea or whatever brought to him while he was learning from Rabbi Yashamish. And once Yashamish, and Yashamish says to himself one day, you know, my Rebbe, he's in another world when he's learning. He doesn't know, he eats, he drinks, he wouldn't even remember. And this cake, you know, looks so good, so you know, I have an idea, I'm going to eat the cake. And if he asks me, you know, what happened with the cake, so I'll tell him you ate it. He wouldn't even remember, he wouldn't even know the difference. So he decided to do so, and one day he's bringing the cake and from the kitchen, and, you know, his wife gave him whatever, and as he's carrying it there, he sees it, and he goes, okay, and he pulls it over to the side, and eats the cake, and he brings down, puts down the, as the chassam sofer is learning, he brings down the cake and drink. No cake, just left crumbs at this point, but there's a drink with some crumbs there of the cake. And what happens? Chassam sofer calls him over later, and he says, what happened to my cake? So he was shocked. He says, what do you mean? He goes, well, you always bring me cake every day. You left me crumbs. You didn't bring the cake. What happened to my cake today? How come you didn't bring a cake? So he says, okay, Reb, you got me. He says, I don't understand. I ate it. But I thought you wouldn't notice, because you don't notice eating, not eating. You're in another world when you're learning. How did you know that I didn't bring the cake? He says, whether I ate a cake or didn't eat the cake, he says, it's true. That I don't remember these things. He says, but whether I made a bracha or not, it was that I remember. And I didn't remember making a bracha. So then I knew I didn't take it. So this is something that we ourselves can do on a daily basis. A little bit of mesiras nefesh, it comes to eating, drinking, etc. And Bezrat Hashem, if we take our strides little by little, show our love of Hashem, show how we want to give us a little bit of ourselves, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu will give us back many, many more fold and shower with the brachas of Levi, the brachas of Yosef, the bracha of all of Klal Yisrael, and if you zoichet to Mashiach, tzidkenu v'behirav yamin.